Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
And let's talk about what lesbians have found.
Let's hang out.
And let's listen to two lesbians shout.
Let's hang out.
Let's hang out.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Let's Hang Out. I'm Ellie Brigida.
And I'm Lee Holmes Foster. And here's what's happening this week.
This week in the lesdom.
You may remember our interview with Laurel's founder, Melanie Crystal, from a few weeks back. We're here to tell you even more about Laurel's because we love supporting queer-owned and women-owned businesses, and we especially love Melanie and Laurel's.
Laurel's are silky, stretchy, black latex panties for oral sex, rimming, and fingering. They're ultra-thin, 10 times thinner than normal undies, so you feel everything. But they give you just a bit of coverage anytime you want it.
We know Valentine's Day is coming up, and there is no better time to try out Laurel's. Maybe you're curious or excited about latex and you want to explore with some sexy, kinky, rippable lingerie.
Maybe you're on your period and didn't want to worry about mess. Plus, you can go back and forth between back and front pleasure because Laurel's block bacteria transfer.
Maybe you want some anal rimming, but you'd like a little bit of a barrier.
Maybe someone has stubble on their face or their body and you want to avoid the scruff.
Maybe you're feeling a little sensitive or experiencing sensory issues.
Maybe any type of oral makes you feel too exposed and you just want a bit of coverage.
Maybe you're new to going down on a vulva and you just want to explore at your own pace.
Whatever the reason, the world's first oral sex panties, aka Laurel's, give you the power to love oral always.
They come in packs of four, and their packaging is absolutely gorgeous. Plus, each pair of Laurel's is individually wrapped in these super cute pink pouches, so a sexy scavenger hunt is easy to plan out.
Ooh, I want a sexy scavenger hunt. Let's do it. They come in two styles, shorties for fuller coverage, or bikinis if you want to bear a bit more.
Couples, thruples, hookups, spouses, cis, trans, queer, kinky, Laurel's are made to help everyone say yes to maximizing pleasure.
For listeners of our show, Laurel's is giving 15% off your first purchase today at www.mylaurels.com. That's www.mylaurels.com using the code HANGOUT.
So remember, if you're listening to the show and you want to try out Laurel's, you can get 15% off your purchase right now at www.mylaurels.com using the code HANGOUT.
Enjoy your Laurel's, babies. This Week in the Lesdom is a place where we can touch base each episode about things going on with the podcast or otherwise. And we want to tell you that we are still in our Season 5 Patreon campaign. I wanted to thank everyone who joined our Patreon in December. We had a lot of new patrons because we were doing our wonderful 12 Days of Lesmas. We also are so excited to giving back to all of our patrons. So we want to thank Jennifer, Angie, Jennifer, and Patrick. We got two Jennifers joining.
Jennifer Supremacy. We love
Yes. Her. If you want to join them, you can join them at bit.ly/lespatreon. At 125 patrons, we will be releasing a bonus patron-only Q&A episode. So you could ask us all your questions. We just did a little AMA on wisdom, which was really fun. But we want to do one for just our Patreon supporters. So join there if you want to get in on the fun. We are very excited. I know we've been keeping a lot of the stuff that's been happening behind the scenes with The Flame under wraps, but we want to let all of you know that we do have a live show scheduled September 15th at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We will be having a live concert version of The Flames. We'll be singing all of the songs at 54 Below in New York City.
I can't even stand it.
I'm so excited. 54 Below is a huge deal. Like, a lot of really big Broadway stars have performed there. So it's like a really, really amazing venue for us to be in. You can get your tickets now. So if you want to get your tickets, you can find that at 54 Below. If you just, I looked this up before, if you literally write The Flame 54 Below, our ticket link will show up. So you can get your tickets now, plan your trip to the city. We cannot wait to see you there. I will be there. Lee will be there. Valerie will be there. Caitlin will be there.
Caitlin will be there. The rest of the cast, a little, we're still working
on the cast. You know, we will
details,
let you know.
TBD.
But do not worry. No matter what cast we have there, they will be incredible and they will be singing the songs from the flame. And we can't wait.
Live in front of your faces.
Live.
Oh my gosh.
Amazing. We will see you there.
We also want to tell you some exciting queer podcasting news. Some of you may have seen that your fave and ours, Jasmine Savoy Brown, who you may know as Thaisa on Yellow Jackets, and of course you know from her star role in The Flame, but Jasmine is going to be joining Liv Hewson, also of Yellow Jackets, to host a new queer podcast that's being, I think, put out by Most,
Netflix.
Right? As like under the Netflix umbrella, called The Gay Agenda, talking to queer folks and especially queer creators and all about queer joy. And we are super psyched to see that happening. Can't wait to listen to it. So
love it. We also want to talk about The Sex Lives of College Girls, which is out right now. Great show. And Vico Ortiz, who's one of our favorites, is on it. So if you want to check it out, I have heard very great things.
Wow. Listen, people from The Flame just out and about doing some cool shit in the
world
is what we're saying. And also, we just want to take a quick moment to shout out the Dickinson finale, which happened, and just Dickinson in general. You all know I am not the top person at keeping up with anything in real time, but I have been keeping up with Dickinson, did watch the finale, I think a few days after it aired because it came out on like Christmas Eve or something. So we had, you know, the girls and the holidays and all of that. But what an amazing show. What an amazing finale. And just, you know, can't recommend it enough if you haven't watched Dickinson yet. It's worth, you know, find something that's going to get you that free month of Apple TV. Watch it all.
Do it.
It's worth it. That's all. Have you seen it yet, Ellie?
I have not seen the finale. Oh, I have seen Dickinson.
Good.
I have not seen the finale.
Yeah, it's good. Good stuff. Good stuff. Sad to see it go. Maybe we'll have to talk about Dickinson soon.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening this week. Back to you, Ellie and Lee.
Thanks, Ellie and Lee, and welcome to our 75th installment of Shoulda Been Gay.
It was fun, it was great, but it should have been a little more gay.
And in this week's episode, do you know what's coming, Ellie? Because I sure hope you do.
Lesbians.
In this week's episode, oh no, I wasn't even going to do that. I was going to go with the someday somebody's going to make you want to turn around and say goodbye. Come on, you had to.
I should have known.
You had to know.
I just feel like that's just iconic. Lesbians.
I mean that too.
Perfect.
But also that's every week.
Yeah, this week's episode. This week episode, lesbians.
Unlike any other.
We're so excited. We're going to be talking about Bridesmaids, and my bridesmaids should have been gay today, which so many reasons. And we are joined by two very special guests with very extensive bios. So I'm going to give you their beautiful bios because they're incredible people who have done a million things. We are first joined by Renee Santos, who is a stand-up comedian that regularly performs at well-known clubs like Broadway Comedy Club, New York Comedy Club, and The Laugh Factory. Her debut national television appearance was on Showtime Network's Pride Comedy Jam, and since then she has appeared on several shows, including NBC's New Amsterdam, playing Nurse Heidi, and she just filmed an HBO Max special recently, which we cannot wait for that to come out. Hi, Renee.
Hi.
So happy to have you here.
I'm so excited to be here. And this is one of my favorite movies of all time.
It is
it's gonna be so good.
We are also joined by Renee's podcasting co-host for the podcast Never Normal, a comedic life coping podcast. That is Jackie Monahan, who is a comedian, actor, writer, and producer who is setting comedy stages on fire from LA to New York with her fearless brand of humor. She toured the country featuring for Amy Schumer, which included opening for her monthly in Vegas. Jackie has since been headlining clubs, colleges, and cruise lines such as Atlantis and Olivia, and currently co-stars in Wild Nights with Emily, starring Molly Shannon as Emily Dickinson, and on Adult Swim on The Eric Andre Show. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So good to see you.
We are so excited to have you both. Oh my gosh. This is going to be a blast.
I've been waiting for this since we scheduled it, but especially today, my anticipation was just, I'm so happy for this. I personally met Jackie and Renee at Klexicon. Lee did not have the pleasure of meeting them, but now you're here, Lee, so you get to experience the joy.
Lee
that
has
is
missed out on everything this year. But you know what? It's okay.
You're here now.
I'm here now.
That's all that matters. So let's do it. Let's dive in. Let's start with our IMDb synopsis, Lee. Hit us.
Our IMDb synopsis for the 2011 hit Bridesmaids is as follows. Competition between the maid of honor and a bridesmaid over who is the bride's best friend threatens to upend the life of an out-of-work pastry chef.
Not the worst. Concise, not the worst IMDb synopsis we've ever had, to be honest. I'm curious. Let's start with Jackie. What's your gay synopsis of the movie Bridesmaids?
My gay synopsis of the movie Bridesmaids. Can I tell you a little antidote quick?
Yes, please.
Yeah. How gay I am. I went with some comics to a bar in LA, and I was talking to a guy for a half hour, and after I stopped talking to him, and I was with Amy Schumer, and she was like, "So what happened?" And I was like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "You were talking to John Hamm." I had no idea.
Stop it.
That's how.
Stop it.
That's amazing.
I had no idea.
That's how gay I am. That is the perfect way to wrap that up. Yeah.
Also, fun fact about John Hamm that I found out about the movie is he's uncredited in the movie.
That's weird.
Yeah, if you go on IMDb, he's nowhere to be found.
Maybe he didn't realize he was in a movie at the time. That's just him.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I read that he did it on purpose because he was known for dramatic roles. And for, like, he didn't want to be credited in Bridesmaids because of he had been known for Mad Men. And he wanted the audience to be surprised when they saw his face.
That's so funny. It's funny, too, because he's so good in this kind of role.
Oh, like, yeah. But this is his first, like, comedic turn. So he was like getting into this new genre and was like, you know, I want to like come in under the radar.
I love that. That's great. Yeah. But I feel like the two women were fighting over the bride's attention. That could be like very gay.
Oh, yes.
I feel like that story is more of like, here's a why you're gay than, you know, here's how Bridesmaid is gay.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a very gay moment in my life that I did not know I was talking to John Hamm.
That's we incredible. Approve.
Nor was I interested in him at all. I was like, when is this guy going to stop talking?
Wow. When John Hamm listens to this podcast, he's going to be really hurt.
I bet he remembers me. When he listens to this, I hope I was thinking like, what was I talking about? And I was talking about my landlord. I was talking all about my building.
Cannot. Do you guys now know why I do a podcast with this woman? She's extraordinary.
Renee, what about you? What's your gay synopsis for Bridesmaids?
God, I'd have to say, out of work pastry chef is secretly in love with both Maya Rudolph and Rose Byrne, but not to confront that directly, all the expository characters will get happily married or partnered to somebody else.
Yes.
Yep. Amazing.
That is that exactly what happened.
I don't actually know the name of their characters because they will always be Maya Rudolph and Rose Byrne to me.
I had to, in the outline that I created for us, I wrote down all the character names because of that exact reason. Like, I watched it today. I've seen the movie many times. It's like one of my favorite movies ever, and I never know any of their names. So I had to look them all up today. So you're not alone.
I've secretly been in love with Rose Byrne for a really long time. So I don't ever want to pretend that she can be somebody else. So I just, she never has a character name in my head. Although I struggled with coming up with a synopsis for this because personally, I think that the cop and Melissa McCarthy's character should have been gay. Like, I'm okay with the subtext of the other characters maybe not being completely gay. I think that's the obvious way to make this film gay. I mean, we'll get into that later, but when Melissa McCarthy's like, I'll climb this guy like a, I don't know what she says. She says something about like, I would climb this guy like a, I don't know, a tree stump or something
like that.
Yes, I would
climb him like a tree.
How amazing would that be if that was like Judy Gold or something was playing that character?
Listen, no one in this movie isn't gay. I think that's accurate.
Oh, I have a very long list of every person who's gay. It's very long. Yeah.
Well, hit us with your gay synopsis then, Ellie.
All right, here's my gay synopsis. Annie absolutely loses her shit when her best friend, who she's been in love with for her entire life, gets engaged and also replaces her with another lesbian best friend.
Ooh.
Amazing.
loses it. She has a gay freak out. That's the whole movie.
Wow. I feel like I should, I think I should go in a slightly different direction then, because I feel like we've covered this, right? So maybe I'll say my gay synopsis for this movie is, you know, sometimes when you just get really sad that the best friend you've been pining over for your entire life is getting married. And so in your deep, dark depression, you just decide to like carefully bake and make a giant Georgia O'Keeffe cupcake and then stare at it and slowly eat it sometimes. You know, when that happens, that's kind of what Bridesmaids is about.
Yeah,
I think that's yeah. fair. That may it's be my favorite accurate. Synopsis.
I forgot about that cupcake. I mean, I didn't forget about it, but I didn't really think about how gay the cupcake was.
It's pretty gay. That's all I'm going to say. I'm like watching cupcake. Her carefully. Yes. She's like just so gently and lovingly like crafting this beautiful flower cupcake and then staring pointedly at it. And I was like, what is the point of this scene in the mind of the person who wrote it?
Like, what I'd she like was to clearly know. Eating pussy. Come on.
Pussy cakes.
There's not a lot of like other alternative explanations I came up with. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The only possible that's my explanation. Great explanation. So the next thing we're going to talk about is what our experience was with the film. I know, Renee, you said this was one of your favorite movies. So what was your experience with Bridesmaids?
You know, in general, I love to see female comedians be crass and raunchy and, you know, slightly inappropriate to industry standards. So just that from an audience perspective, I love that motley crew of actors that are in a bunch of films together, you know, and started in the SNL world. So not to be completely narcissistic, but one of the reasons it's my favorite is my larger vision for my goal as an artist is to be a comedic actress and to slide into roles like that. So part of me watching that film is my own like vibrational goal setting, you know, for what my career could one day look like, because I think that would bring me an amazing amount of joy if I could be in a film with that group of people. And of course,
we're manifesting for you right now.
We're doing it. And I don't even, they don't have to be gay in the film with me. I mean, if they were, like, what? I think that would be amazing. If they could just be gay for me, all of them in a line. Let's write that film.
Like this cast specifically is what we're going for.
Yes. Like Rose Byrne and Kristen Wiig should definitely be gay for me. I'm just saying. That's a real thing.
Jackie, are you going to also star in this buddy comedy with
Renee? Because we're the next generation of these characters. Like Jackie and I are going to be the faces that are in the same films together all the time. I just put that out there, Jackie. Did you see that? You pick it up.
I love it. If you ever want to watch the Foxy Merkins too, I'm in a buddy comedy.
Yes. Amazing. And Wild Nights with Emily, which when we were at Klexicon, Caitlin and Valerie like were freaking out about Jackie being in Wild Nights with Emily. We were sitting at we were at Shake Shack. We're like sitting eating and Jackie's like, "Yeah, I was in Wild Nights with Emily." And they were like, "Holy shit." It was quite the moment.
Yeah, it was. It was fun. I was like really, I'm a giant Kristen Wiig fan. Like her, I'm so freaking excited. And then the baby hands, like same cars. Like I loved those characters so much. And I would watch them on repeat, like just because I love them so much. Like she's just so funny. So when I heard it was coming out, I was really like, please let it, like I just didn't want to be disappointed. So I was really excited to watch it. I think I saw it twice in the theater. There were some things like my ex-wife, she saw it before me and there were parts that she was like, Jackie, these parts are just like you. Like, so she was kind of disappointed because it was stuff that I did that I couldn't now do because she did like the chocolate. I always did that and she hated it. She always be like, stop doing that with the chocolate. And just like her driving in the car, like doing all funny things, like that stuff that I would do too. So she was kind of like, you know, those things that are burned, like you can't do those now. But I think there's, you know, there's enough material out there for everybody to do stuff.
You'll find a new chocolate.
So thrilled at how funny it was. My favorite scenes were on the plane. I loved, oh my God, Melissa McCarthy. Yeah, and Melissa McCarthy, that was the first time being introduced to Miss Melissa McCarthy. And she just like made me laugh even more than Kristen Wiig. So I loved it. I really loved it.
And I must add, Jackie does a mean impression with baby hands as well. It's not one of our episodes of Never Normal. It's pretty stellar, I have to say.
I'm not surprised by that at all. Lee, what was your experience?
Oh, God. I remember when it came out, and I know I saw it pretty soon after it came out. Like, I'm trying to remember if I saw it in theaters at the time. And I honestly couldn't tell you when the last time I watched it was. That we were trying to remember when Kelsey and I rewatched it, and I was like, God, this movie is so fucking funny. Like, it's just, it's really, it holds up, you know? It holds up. So I love it. I love all of them. Everyone in it is fantastic. For me, it was not my first Melissa McCarthy as someone who grew up with Gilmore Girls. And so it was, I remember being super excited, being like, oh my God, she's going to be in like a full, like big deal movie. Like how incredible, because she's hilarious. And yeah, just what a joy. What a joy of a movie. I'm so glad we're going to talk about it.
It's so good. I'm glad all of us are fans of it, because if anyone on this Zoom was not a fan, I would probably kill someone. Like, it's
Worried, Ellie? Were you worried I was going to do that to you again?
I get nervous sometimes. Lee, like, doesn't like certain movies that I love. But
sometimes we come on here to talk about, like, one of Ellie's many favorite movies, and she's like, let's all talk about our experience. And I'm like, I hate it. I hate this movie.
And I'm like, no, please. But
not this one.
No.
It's such a good, like, artistic template, too, of, like, being comical. And I think sometimes I watch films with a different lens because I'm a comedian, and just even the like wedding speeches where they keep taking the mic back and forth from each other.
Oh my God.
The commitment to how serious that moment is for them is what makes it hilarious. And like at home, I'm literally uncomfortable, embarrassed for them. And that's just perfection, you know, to be like, that's how we should feel, where it's almost not funny, but it is funny, but you're like, this is painful funny. The only way to pull that off is if you take the moment seriously. It's like the number one rule of comedy is to not try to be funny, to get the authenticity in it. And I think a lot of comedic movies miss the mark on that because they play to the funny. And this movie does not play to the funny.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Megan is so serious.
Yeah.
She is like, that's Melissa McCarthy's character. Like when she says she's going to climb that person like a tree, she means it. She's yeah, not trying to tell a joke.
Description, just she's so like legitimately
it's so
upset.
Ridiculous. It is so ridiculous. It's such, oh God, it's such a good movie. My personal experience also was very similar to everyone else's. Saw it in theaters, was obsessed with it. My friends used to like, you know, like the Gilly from SNL, like Gilly. People used to do that, but with my name, Ellie. So so I was a big fan of the Gilly. I also just love Kristen Wiig. Like, she is one of my favorite comedic actresses ever. I will watch anything she's in, and, like, she can do no wrong. So, yeah, I also agree. Like, I was so excited to see it and happy that it turned out to be, like, everything that you wanted it to be. Especially because, I mean, I'm sure the two of you have had experience with this, but I feel like this movie came out 10 years ago, right? And I feel like even now, still people are like, women aren't funny. And you're like, just watch Bridesmaids or like watch any female comedian that you can find. Like, so I feel like it was like also just like a statement of like, hey, men are irrelevant in this film, like right. For the most part.
Yeah.
And it's definitely amazing.
I don't like the Hangover movies.
No, because so, men aren't funny. No,
they're not. Yeah, so I thought Bridesmaid blew the Hangover away.
Oh yeah.
I love what just happened though, because and I just want to make sure that like all of the listeners know that, you know, you said you don't like the Hangover movies, and there was just like zero reaction from anybody on this call, which is like exactly the spaces we strive to create, you know?
Did you expect someone to be like, "Wait, are you serious?
No, but like, but that's why I love it, because I feel like if you said that in a room full of like straight people, like, you know, somebody would be like, you what? But like, no, like just nothing, like just blank slates, like an absolutely still pond of non-reaction. And I love it. I do too.
Yeah, I've made that statement many a times because I really, I mean, they anger me how not funny they are. They're just not funny. And people argue with me all the time. So it's nice. I feel very happy and safe.
It's how you know you're at home. You know?
Yes. Mm. This is the place to make statements like that.
I was just saying, like, I think sometimes in male comedy films, there's this exaggeration of, like, toxic masculinity that's supposed to make us laugh. And, like toxic masculinity is not funny to me initially. So then when you give me an extreme or sort of slapstick absurdist view of toxic masculinity, like, I'm more pulled away from the storyline than ever before. So I just don't get it. It doesn't resonate for me. Like, the more machismo you are, like, the less I'm going to watch. I guess I'm really gay.
I do love Zach Galifianakis, but I like him much more on his own. Like, I love Baskets. Oh, that's so good.
Toxic masculinity, no. Women shitting into a sink, like, yes. A plus.
So good. A plus.
So good. That scene was just like, oh, man, this is heaven.
That's so good. I also feel like this film is, like, so quotable. Like, I was watching it again, and I was like, I feel like I almost forgot how much I say this movie.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's coming out of me like lava. Like, oh, like, every quote is just like, it's perfect. It's perfect. You're doing it. You're doing it in the street.
And it's very gay. Should we dive?
Yeah, let's dive.
Should we dive
in.
Into
dive
how
in.
Gay it is? Because we could be here all night just talking about how great it is, you know?
true. And it's great because it's a little bit gay.
It's so gay.
A little bit. So, Renee, what were the biggest things? We talked about our synopses, but, like, what are some of the moments that you sort of found from Bridesmaids that you're like, that's a gay moment?
You know, I would say initially when she shows her the ring where she's, like, biting into the apple and is, like, doing that sort of circuitous whatever. I think that was a gay moment for Kristen Wiig's character, not for her character. But that moment of transition where she's, like, she's leaving me, you could almost feel... the abandonment wasn't necessarily about the other guy. Like, it felt very clear to me, like, they're in love. Like, they're not just best friends. Like, it wasn't her. To me, I think what they were trying to go for is, like, she doesn't have the guy and she does. And because there's not the actual jealousy over the fiance, like, there's not a dislike of that guy. Is more demonstrates, like, a vacancy in the character. You know what I mean? If that makes sense.
Does Dougie even have a line in the movie?
I looked that up. I don't think he talks.
I don't think he talks.
Ooh, that's
right?
Kind
like,
of
like, he's
symbolic.
An afterthought. He doesn't even exist.
That yeah, is I'm such pretty... a good point. That's like Charlie Brown, like, parents that are never, they never have, like, they never actually say words because you realize the parents are irrelevant.
Yes.
Such
but, like,
a good point.
You think about it and you're like, I swear to God, he had to have talked. But I don't think he does.
I don't think he does.
No. He's nodding.
I don't think he says
and
anything.
And, like, the when they're doing the speeches, he's like, oh, like, making faces. That's it. Never hear a word from that man.
I suppose at one point he must say, I do. Right? Maybe that's, like, his only line.
Maybe, yeah. But I agree. Like, the point, the man is irrelevant in it, right? Like, yeah. And that's why I like that the whole story, like, to make it, because it's so gay, she's jealous of another woman. Like, she's not jealous of a man at all. She's jealous of, like, the only other woman in her life, Helen. And so it's just, like, there's no heterosexual explanation for this.
Well, and not even that, but it's not like she finds out about the engagement and then goes home and is, like, you know, looking at, like, oh, why doesn't John Hamm want me to stay over? Or, like, why doesn't my apartment have a dude in it? She goes home and gets in bed and stares at a photo of her and her best friend as children, like, sadly in the dark. And it's like, okay, yeah, she's jealous of Comp Het, I guess. I don't know what we're trying to sell this as. It's a hard sell.
It is. There's many, many, many moments between Annie and Lillian. If we even start from, like, closer to the beginning before she tells her she's getting engaged, even when they're sitting at the cafe, she asks her about Dougie, but, like, she does not give a shit. Like, she's like, so how's he doing? Like, could care less. And then I'm pretty sure Lillian also proposes It's yes. I know it's yes. a joke, but she says, "Will you marry me?" And she says, "Yes."
You're so beautiful. I love you so much. Exactly, Jackie. You were just saying about like when they do the chocolate bit with the teeth. Yeah, like they literally fake propose to each other in that scene.
Yeah. So yeah. I think she took it too seriously, and then she was so devastated when she found out that Dougie proposed because she thought they were engaged. And she was like,
"Normal straight girl stuff."
She's like, "You just proposed to me yesterday." That's what I think. Jackie, what do you think?
I was really uncomfortable through the movie that they were trying to say Megan was straight. Mm. I just felt like that character.
Yeah, right?
I was just like, that character's a lesbian. It made me feel really uncomfortable. That I was like, I felt like she was uncomfortable and wanted to just be out. But then in real life, I started performing on the circuit with a female comedian with the same name, Jackie, and she was straight. But everybody, when they met us, thought she was the lesbian comic and I was the straight comic because she reminds me a lot of that character. And she's very straight. She's very happily married. And yeah, it was interesting that I felt that way. And then in my own life, I noticed that it's not always true. that maybe that character would really be straight. But
so what you're saying is stereotypes aren't always right. And right. I refuse to believe that.
I mean, I do think the most interesting retelling of this would be that like everyone except Megan is gay.
Oh my God, yes.
Do you know right. what I mean? Like the one right. person that like you think seems gay is actually the one who's straight, and like everyone else around her is just super gay.
Listen, I will say Megan, despite being the most obviously queer-coded character in the film, is also the only one who I buy as having any interest in any man in this movie. So I'm here for that retelling, Ellie. I could totally get behind that.
I mean, to be fair, yeah, if you think about every person, right? Annie, I guess like Annie and the cop, whatever.
No.
Helen could give
I will die on the hill that she has no interest in this man.
No.
All right. That's,
zero.
Negative. I will die on a hill.
Negative interest in that guy. Okay. Come on.
Valid. But Helen, you never see, like, she does never with her husband. Rita no. hates her husband, keeps saying that she, like, what did she say? Like, she just wants to watch Jimmy Fallon without being entered or something. Like, she just wants to watch, like, The Tonight Show without being, like, without him inside me or something. I'm like, what the fuck? Becca clearly, like, does not have a fulfilling sex life with her husband.
No.
Lillian, we never see Dougie. So I agree. Megan does have the most meaningful relationships with men in the film, like, with her air marshal man.
Yeah, like, listen, she might have a newsy cap and 9 dogs, but, like, she also has any interest in a man, at least one man that we have seen. So, yeah, why not? How funny would that be, right? Remake the movie and make every single one of them gay except for her.
Except the, like, biggest lesbian.
I would watch that movie.
I know Kristen Wiig's ex-husband. Kristen Wiig's ex-husband contacted her and was like, "Can we have coffee?" And she said, "Do not ever contact me again."
Oh
my
Jackie's
God.
Got the juice.
I know.
Am I allowed to say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, tell
I
us.
I think it's so funny.
Tell us more.
he's like obsessed with her. He couldn't get over her. And then he finally was like, am I going to burn in hell telling this? He was at a strip club. His friends brought him to a strip club. And all of a sudden he was like, I was finally feeling okay. And I looked over the stripper's shoulder and there was Kristen Wiig on Saturday Night Live.
Oh my God.
So I told this to my friend and she's always like, in the middle of a conversation, she'll be like, I was depressed. I was finally feeling better. Like she gets me every time, like where it's not, like I'm like, oh my God, are you okay? And then she's like, and then I saw Kristen Wiig.
Also, like, the ultimate, like, boner killer to be, like...
Yeah, right?
Having the best time and see your ex-wife.
Is that okay I tell that story? It's so funny.
It's fine.
I mean, we don't know him, so, you know.
Yeah.
We put you in the clear, yeah.
Yeah. Don't ever contact me again. He cheated on her. He cheated on
his,
her.
In his defense, though, well, not in his defense for that, but I was going to say, how do you get over Kristen Wiig?
Well, absolutely. She's impossible. The best.
Has any other person on this panel ever tried to look somebody up that you had like a crush on from a movie to find out if they were gay, like mid-movie?
Oh, my God.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Like a immediately thousand times. When you're
all
like,
the time.
I just want to see if maybe I had a shot, which is like the most random thing. Like,
listen, so listen.
Because you're a civilian.
Listen, we are 75 episodes into should have been gay, like movies and characters and whatever. Like the number of recent Google searches on my computer that are probably just like an actor's name, gay. Just that's the Google search. It's just like so-and-so gay. Just what do you got for me, Google? What do you got for me? I don't care. Speculation, articles, Tumblr posts, give it all to me. I don't care.
Wait, who did you look up, Renee?
Okay, this wasn't a movie, but I forget what her name is, but in the new L Word, that super hot girl that's with Danny now, that was with Bette for like a minute and a half. What is that actress's name? I think she's like Middle Eastern. She's stunningly gorgeous. Whoever
yeah,
that
she plays
actress,
Gigi. Yeah, she's
the one who plays Gigi. I mean, she's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Come yeah,
on.
I was like,
who's gonna argue with you on that one?
I just had to know, and I didn't get any definitive explanation, so I'm just going to pretend in my head. So
I'm still never going to forgive them for taking away my dream thruple, but it's fine.
I know.
Dream thruple? Who's your dream thruple?
My dream thruple was Alice and what's the
Alice and Nat and Gigi all together.
And Nat and Gigi.
Yeah.
On season one of the, yeah, generation.
They were kind of hot. It is true. But I think that's such a
Come
hard.
Come on. That was a good scene. That was good.
It was a solid scene. For sure.
One of the best lesbian sex scenes I've ever seen on TV.
Wait, but what prompted the story, though, of you just had to tell us that you had to decide or, like, look up if Gigi was gay?
Yeah, well, you know what prompted that is because, like, I have these movies that seem gay. Like, that becomes my impetus for looking it up. Mm. If there's, like, gay subtext, and I'm like, oh, I feel like, all right, if they're not going to get to the meat and actually address this, then I have to at least have some type of backstory in my head that'll allow me to be present during this film so that I can let myself pretend it's a gay movie. You
well,
know what
and
I
it's,
mean?
It's also because sometimes you do it because they just play so gay in so many roles that are not supposed to be gay that you're just like, what's happening here? Like, is this just you cannot convincingly appear straight in a film? Like, what's happening? You know, like everybody has Googled, like, is Natasha Lyonne really gay? Because, like, how could you not be? You know, like Katie McGrath, why are you so gay in everything you're in? It's just like, what's happening here? So, yeah, it's fair.
Agreed. I just thought maybe you looked up Rose Byrne mid Bridesmaids.
Oh, I looked her. I thought that was already understood for my intro. I've definitely. I just skipped over her.
Have you ever looked someone up and they actually were gay and you were like, yes, or it's always a disappointment?
Okay, so my like childhood crush was Gillian Anderson from The X-Files. Like, I don't know if I'm dating myself, but
no.
I looked her up and I found out that she was bisexual and I was like, oh. Yes. That made me a little bit, that made me happy. And the weirdest thing is I was so in love with her, like random aside, but I had 130 laminated pictures. I was like obsessed with her in a way that was probably not healthy. I fucking laminated these photos. And then I went to an X-Files convention, like a Klexicon, but for X-Files. And she like signed one of my photos. And then here's the weird thing about it. So like, I was so obsessed. She was like my biggest crush. And then many years later, I moved to LA and I'm looking for a nanny job. And her assistant, I didn't even know it was her. I got interviewed to be like her nanny. And I was like, I literally can't, like, I can't work for this woman. Like, I would never be able to like...
Hand that rocks the cradle with the assistant.
Yeah, like, yeah. I can't. So I didn't realize that it was Gillian Anderson's daughter because to, like, protect her anonymity through the nanny agency, she just had the assistant's name. And then I came in and met Piper and all the stuff. Piper's a kid who's now, like, 20. But at any rate, like, it was that weird moment where I'm like, if Gillian Anderson ever found out that I had 130 pictures of her laminated. And I also stole when the X-Files movie came out, you know how they have those big cardboard things in the movie theater? Me and my sister stole that. And then I just got rid of David Duchovny.
Oh, my God.
And then I used it as my laundry bin because it, like, stood up. And so I would throw my laundry at Gillian Anderson every day. Guys. It was bad.
That is next level.
No, it sounds amazing. I don't know what you're talking about.
Did you count the laminated things, or you're just throwing a number out there?
Yes, because my sisters were making fun of me. They're like, that's psycho. You have 500 laminated photos. And I'm like, no, I don't. And then I counted them all.
Where would you laminate it? Would you bring them to a store and have them laminate? Or did you have a machine?
Staples. I would go to Staples.
Oh, man.
And then I would just
I can't believe this is coming out now.
I know it's not
this
normal.
Is going to ruin
Jillian
you.
Anderson
no.
watch this.
The only important question right now is, do you still have them? Where are they?
I have 12 of them left. It's
please,
fine.
Please break out a whole binder out from under your bed, just right now.
Here, it's actually in a storage unit in Brooklyn, which is crazy because it's that thing that no matter where I move from place to place to place, I just save just the ones that she signed, a few, and the magazine covers. But the cardboard thing is long gone. I have to say that's long gone.
I really wish you could just pan your camera a little to the left and she's standing in the corner and you're like, oh, I mean, it's gone. It's gone. What are you talking about?
I finally felt like I was doing okay. And then Jillian Anderson, the cardboard cutout.
In fact, if you guys ever want to do the X-Files film, how gay that film was, I suggest you bring
my God.
Me back. I suggest you bring me back.
We'll put it on the list. You've got
X-Files is very high on our list. It's just, God damn it, Jillian. All right, but we have to get back
We've detoured somewhere
detoured
else
so
now.
Far. I don't
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm.
Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
I need you. Find me.
The Shared Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Even know where we are.
For me, I fell in love with characters, and then I would realize the actors aren't the same. So I would be disappointed.
What was the character that you most fell in love
with? Darlene from Roseanne. I thought Sarah Gilbert was going to be the same. And then when I met her and I was like, she's nothing like that. I wanted her to be like Darlene. And Joe Polnicek, Nancy McKeon.
And they're never the same. Yeah.
It's not, you just got to hold on to the,
idea.
Yeah, the vision in your head, that's all.
Right.
Yeah. Never meet your gay idols.
Yeah, and Jessica Jones. I don't want to meet the actress because I just I love Jessica Jones. And who else right now? Oh, yeah. Fiona from Shameless.
Yeah. I don't know how we're going to get back, but we're going to get back. So back to Bridesmaids. On the plane scene, do we think anyone ended up in that bathroom?
Yes. What's their faces? They have character names that I don't know. Hold on. I'll look them up.
Rita and Becca.
Rita and Becca, yeah, Ellie Kemper's character and what's-her-face. Yeah, I mean, for sure. They are 100% having sex on that plane.
I mean, they make out on the plane. We have to at least talk about, like, gay moments.
The plane was my favorite. I could watch the whole plane over and over and over again.
And they make out on the plane after talking about the extremely disappointing sex that they each have with their husbands. And then I don't even know who says which lines to which person, but I just have written down the quote, "You're more beautiful than Cinderella. You smell like pine needles and you have a face like sunshine."
That's all Becca to Rita.
They have sex on that plane. Come on.
For sure. Jackie, why was the plane your favorite scene? I know that there's...
It was just funny from beginning to end, the whole scene. And I forget her name, but my favorite of all of it boiled down was Kristen Wiig with the woman she co-wrote it with. That scene.
Oh, yeah. When she's sitting next to the woman and she's like, "I had a dream about you last night."
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Oh, God.
You guys, interesting fun fact. I just Googled this, like, gay moments from Bridesmaids. And apparently, true story, they were doing improvs so that Annie was improving gay roles to see if it would come out organically. And they thought they asked Melissa McCarthy to play gay in an improv scenario. It's literally in this article about how the women auditioned for the roles. And that was the role. They improvised gay scenes in the auditions. Like, that's how they auditioned for this film. And then
what the hell? Why did they take it out?
Not cool.
Yeah, they were saying in the original script, the dress shopping scene where Annie has the fantasy, the food poisoning debacle was supposed to be a fantasy about another woman chopping wood.
Okay, wait. Hold on one second. Wait a second. Does that have kind of like, let's practice making out at a sleepover vibes for anyone else right now? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, let's like pretend we're gay, but like just for fun right now, like it's not actually for the movie. Does anyone else kind of get that from that story? Is that,
yes.
Is that just what's happening for me right now?
That's totally happening for me. And I feel like it's the only thing that bothers me about films like this, where we have to, as queer people, like create these substitutions, right? Because it's like, we get to the art of it by having it be gay, because being gay is amazing. And I'm sure that these characters, like, one of the reasons they got cast is I'm sure being in that improv where they were all acting gay probably created a real organic connection. They were like, they would work amazing together. Now let's straighten out their characters. I don't know. Now I'm having
Let's play spin the bottle, even though there's no boys here, but like in the movie, we'll cast some boys, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, and really, have follow through.
Because we have to watch it. Yeah. I cannot believe it. Insider.com, true thing. They auditioned by having them improv.
Imagine we find out they do that in every movie.
That's how they auditioned.
BuzzFeed's newest, The Secrets scene. Hollywood doesn't want you to know.
I cannot.
Wow.
So should I put in under special skills? I feel like I should put gay improv well.
Yes.
Like, does gay improv well?
That's a great idea.
Jackie. Done. Special skills. Boston dialogue. Gay improv.
I mean, I feel like that does explain why they have so much sexual chemistry. Like, you can't just tell someone to, like, be gay with their friends for, like, just rehearsal and then take it to the movie and be like, they're not.
Yeah. I had a few of my friends try to be gay just for college. That worked out.
Yep. And here we are now, all gay on a podcast. I was just gay for college, too. Not actually.
Oh, I was gay for more than college, but I just made like a few people gay in college. I just wanted to, let's just say I offered the handbook to them and they didn't want it. No toaster ovens for them.
God damn them. It's okay.
Next time.
They're missing out, really.
Who else is gay? What do you want us to dig into, Elliot?
Okay.
I feel like there's still a lot.
There's
honestly, I could talk about Annie and Lillian for like 3 hours.
I mean, I think we still should round out Annie and Lillian because their whole storyline is the center of the film and, like, is a gay storyline. We sort of talked about, like, how Annie at the beginning of the movie was, like, so devastated by the engagement. But I think it's also really interesting. You see their arc, right? They go from, like, being in love with each other. She gets engaged. They fight. But towards the end of the movie, Lillian also shifts. And you see that Lillian, I think, has feelings for Annie as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because she literally doesn't go to her wedding and hides in her apartment and has this whole scene where she's like, basically, I don't want to get married because I don't want to leave you. Like, that's what she says to her. And then Annie sort of just like releases her. But I feel like in the gay version, it would be like, that's the moment where she's like, oh my God, Lillian, you feel the same way. And then she'd be like, fuck the wedding. And then they'd hook up in her apartment and she could stay there.
Someone somewhere has written this fan fiction. And if they have not, send it to us now.
I think she says, something about like, oh, I love taking bubble baths in my bath. And Annie's like, I know. And then they and then they get in the bath. That's
yes.
what I want
to Give see. It to me in the remake. That's what I want.
That's what I want.
I feel like their whole storyline also in terms of how I really think Annie is completely uninterested in Chris O'Dowd's character, the cop, is that they have their big fight and breakup, right? And she's like so sad that she's like, oh, I guess I'll go sleep with that dude who's been into me for a while, which is like peak gay vibes, right? To just be like, oh, can't have the girl, guess I'll fuck that dude over there. And then not only does that, but then has to call Lillian and like tell her about it. She's like, I know we're not talking, but like, I slept with a guy. Like,
do you care?
Are you jealous yet? Do you care? Do you want me back yet? And you're just like, oh, ladies, work your shit out.
I know.
That is such a gay projection. I definitely remember, like, before I came out and was in love with all of my best friends, like, I would lie, though. I wasn't actually sleeping with men, but I would full on, like, pretend about having interests in men that I was not even in a thousand years would be into, just to kind of rile up that conversation to see if there was some type of, like, jealousy or...
Just like, fishing for jealousy. Oh, yeah.
Fishing for it. Yeah. I have so many, like, fake relationships in my head with men in college that were never real things.
Yep. And that feels like all of Annie's relationships with men.
Yes. And all of Annie's interactions with Lillian just in general. Like, she is so... jealous, it's absurd. And like, that's what I think is funny too, is like, there's so much of this movie that is, I get what they're going for in the like strong female friendships vibe, and I get it, and so much of it is relatable in that way, and yet also you're like, but also it's like a little insane, right? Like,
it's totally insane. But do you think partly it's because of the filter is through the fact that we are all lesbians?
I
hear people talk about platonic female friendships and I'm like, what are you talking about? I fuck all my friends. That doesn't even make sense. Like, I can't even wrap my brain around that.
But that's why I think Bridesmaids does not depict a platonic female friendship, because I think if Annie and Lillian's friendship was platonic, there would be none of the drama that exists.
Solid point.
Right? Like, I think platonic female friendships exist. I just don't.
Not in our podcast, they don't.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
In general, sure. We've never met one that we've ever seen, but I've heard rumors, you know?
Yeah, people do have them, but this is not one of them. Right? Like, I don't
know.
But
exactly. I'm like, exactly.
I feel like in movies, you always see men coming to break up a wedding, and it's like so romantic. But there's never the woman. Like, if there was, they would be like, they're crazy, lock them up.
And they are. They are all crazy in this movie.
But you would want Annie to break up the wedding.
Yeah.
Totally.
So, she should have just shoved Dougie in the water, right? Yeah. Like, just shoved him in the fountain at the end.
Also,
he should have fallen in love with Megan.
Yeah. Mm. Well, they're brother and sister, so maybe no.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oops.
It just occurred a little too late, you know?
Maybe
like,
they find out.
Obviously.
Maybe they find out they're not really related. And that's when they realize.
I'm going to say it could actually fit because there was something weird going on with the brother and sister roommates characters, too.
Oh, they're like, totally.
Right? There was a weird Rebel vibe happening Wilson there. So, like,
yeah,
maybe this movie
out.
Would be okay with leaning into a little bit of incest. I don't know. just throwing that out there, okay?
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about them because it's too freaky. It's also like, yeah, it's too much. But I do love their characters in it are so ridiculous. She gets a free tattoo.
It's the most obnoxious. On. I can't. And it's so it's like a weird lizard thing. Like, I just love that it's huge and it goes all the way around her back. Oh. I mean, there's so much about that is just comedic genius that, like, oh, that whole just concept of, like, just because it's free, don't take it. It just reminds me of, like, the problem in this country where we just take crap that's free, where you're like, this is awful for you.
She literally has like a disease
but
growing
it's
on
so
her back.
Well
like,
done.
It was free. It's great.
It was free. Who cares?
Pour some peas on it. You'll be fine.
Insane. I feel like Helen, too, is super gay. And I feel like that's why Annie has such an issue with her. Because I cannot imagine in however many years they've been friends that Lillian has never had, like, another friend, right?
True.
But I feel like Annie is specifically threatened by Helen because, number one, she's Rose Byrne and she's hot, right? Like, the second she sees her in that gown, Annie has, like, serious gay panic. Right? Yes. She's just like, this fucking hot woman is friends with my friend. And then I feel like she realizes from the speech that, oh, Helen's in love with Lillian, too. Because, like, the speech that Helen gives to Lillian, I know that's, like, all improv, but it's a gay speech.
Yeah.
And she's like, I love you. I love you so much. I love you. I mean, she says, I love you, like, number of times. Like, you're so important to me. You're so – I don't know if I'm quoting it, right?
Yeah, that's the whole speech. She just says, I love you, I love you, I love you. I'm pretty sure she also says, I told you things I've never told anyone.
Yes.
And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about, Helen? What did you tell her?
Okay, wait. I can remember one other part of that speech, which is also that they go to sushi together a lot. So I'm just going to say her speech boils down to, I love you. I have shared things with you that I've shared with nobody else. And eating fish. Great.
Eating nothing fish. Eating fish.
Nothing to worry about here, Annie, is what we're saying. Okay?
Eating vagina cupcake, because there's a lot of eating
vagina cupcake
in this film.
Listen.
I cannot.
So
Jackie,
good.
Did you notice anything else gay about Helen?
No.
You think Helen's straight?
You're gonna destroy Renee's whole fantasy.
I know. No, she. I think la, that she's la, fluid. La, la. I think she's kind of in love with herself. I don't know if she's capable to love anybody else more than she loves herself. Like, addicted to being, projecting, like, this perfectness.
True. But I feel like if you're going to, I'm going to go deep here for a minute, but I feel like that's, like, such a thing when you're hiding that you're gay.
Right.
Is to be like, I'm going to be perfect. Like, no one will ever be able to tell that I'm gay because who would ever assume that this, like, girl who wears, like, beautiful dresses and, like, has it all pulled together has this secret. And then she told the secret to Lillian. And so that's why she's like, I love you, Lillian, because you're the only one who knows my secret. I'm still in for it.
I love that. I think that's exactly it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What about John Hamm and Annie's relationship? I was just like, the entire first scene.
Yes.
I can't even watch it. I was like pacing in my room because I watched it again last night because I'm like, I need to recall the film. And I remember, like, every single time I was, like, fast forwarding or, like, eating my popcorn or, like, distracting myself or, like, wrapping up my last few texts in the movie theater before I turned my phone off. Like, I can't even look up during that scene.
Because it's so uncomfortable.
It bothers me. Because it's so, yeah. I mean, as soon as, like, I think the first line of the film is, will you cut my balls? And I'm like, I can't. I'm already out. I'm out. I'm out. I'm out. I tap out. This lesbo's tapping out during this scene.
That's fair. It is also, I think, like a gay power move when movies just like to start with like the most horrifying, disappointing straight sex, right?
Oh, that's a good point.
I mean, it's just really starting off strong for us, I think.
Yeah, totally.
I mean, when I started to watch this, For It Should Have Been Gay, when the first scene started, I was like, well, of course. Like, it is. It's just like every time she sleeps with him, it's not good.
No. And it's always bad.
She's totally detached and just like laying there. And I feel like, I don't know a lot about heterosexual sex, but I'm assuming the role of pillow princess is much more active in male-female relationships, is my assumption.
So you think she was being a pillow princess in that interaction?
Well, I mean, a princess almost speaks to like being titled to that, like you want to lay there and just receive it. I think she was like an involuntary pillow princess, just like kind of didn't know how to participate in it and didn't really want to participate in it. It was just kind of waiting for it to be over. Like her general disgust about the whole, it's almost like she was there because she's like, I should do this. Like I need to like normalize. And it's that thing where like you force yourself to just do what you think you're supposed to do. Like it's, so it screams all of that to me, which made me horribly uncomfortable. But I'm glad that I like recommitted to the film because I almost couldn't watch it. And I was like, this is a weird lead-in for me. But now I get it. Like in retrospect, to see how horrifically uncomfortable it was definitely speaks to how gay she really is.
And they don't show you any alternative too. That's like the only sex scenes you really get in the movie, right? Like ostensibly she had good fun times with the cop, but like you don't see it.
Yeah.
You get a detailed view of her making and eating a cupcake, but you don't see her have sex with the cop. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Good point.
Really so good true. Point.
We got a longer makeout between Rita and Becca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For real, honestly.
Wow, this film is like so gay in every way, not just with like the main characters, but like
all of them.
They're
it just gets
all
gayer
gay.
And gayer. Listen, and then we build up to the, because we should also talk about Annie's breakdown, right? Like when she goes to the Paris party and like loses her shit and she's like, how dare you, this was my thing, like I gave you this idea, and then what woman gives another woman a trip to Paris? Like that line is like, that's the whole movie in a nutshell, right? Where it's,
and
like,
isn't Paris like the city of romance?
Yes,
too? That's like what it's known for.
It's like somewhere deep down she's like saying it being like, wow, that's gay, and also at the same time being very clear about being like, and I'm mad it's not me, right? Like mm-hmm. that's the scene, that's what's happening.
She literally calls them
what's straight about that?
She literally calls them lesbians and she's like so pissed about it. Like, yes. She's like so pissed that Helen's being gay with her best friend. And I'm like, Annie, what woman makes a fucking decoupage, like, box with pictures of you and your best friend and says, like, happy engagement, look at the two of us being in love? Like, that's a gay gift.
The one who can't afford the trip to Paris is the answer.
Exactly.
That's who does
so
that.
So she's just pissed she couldn't afford a better gay gift. But, like, you still gave a gay gift, Annie.
So good. Definitely.
And then they have to work together to find Lillian and get her to her wedding, which somehow involves them getting topless in a car. Listen, this movie gets gayer the longer you watch, okay?
And I feel like in that scene, I don't know if I was hallucinating, but it seemed like Rose Byrne was holding her boobs.
Yes, right? Because I think she's like driving or something.
Yeah, yeah. So I think she was holding her boobs to cover them, but like to cover them, quote unquote, but like what you did, you have to hold them, like she's holding them and smiling. It's like the happiest Helen's been all like the entire like movie.
Helen's just cupping her boobs being like, tell me I'm pretty again, what's happening right now, what are these feelings? Yeah
I think by the end what I wanted to happen is actually for Annie, Helen, and Lillian to be a threesome and just leave all
a
the men
thruple.
Behind.
I love it.
That's my preferred ending.
I would be okay with that ending. Not my right. preferred, but it definitely would be.
So what is
I would
your
be
preferred
down with that.
Ending?
That her and Lillian end up together.
Are we moving into ships already, Ellie? Because I feel like we're
there. Yeah, let's do it.
I feel time.
Well, before though, Jackie, what's your preferred ending to this? You also want
same. I'm for either of them. It's hard for me because I go back and forth between throuple and not throuple. It's a problem in my own life too. So
to throuple or not to throuple.
It's a big problem in my life, to be honest. Nobody's safe. So yeah, I can't decide.
That's
but
okay.
Those two endings are my preferred. Which one more than the other? It depends on what moment I'm in.
Both great choices. So let's do it. You're right, Lee. Let's jump into our ships then. All right. So which characters are we shipping? Each of us will pick two characters or three if you want the throuple together. That's our top choice for the film. Or also if other people pick your top, just pick another one. So
the two people that end up together.
Yeah. Who do you want together? So Renee, I'll let you start.
Well, I think definitely Lillian and Annie, but how amazing would it be if Melissa McCarthy ended up with Rose Byrne and like a weird twist at the end where they just walk into a room together because Melissa McCarthy would like just to pull that off, but with no explanation. I wouldn't want an explanation.
The like, dynamic that would yeah. create is a powerful one.
Right?
It is something.
To be fair, that really like, I mean, it gives Helen pretty much the same life, right? In a way, like Megan's character is like filthy rich.
Yes.
Right? So yeah. It's like, it's just like she's with this like rich lesbian instead of her like rich husband who doesn't pay attention to her.
Wait. And because Helen has that whole speech where she's like, people only want to be like, only have me in their wedding so that I'll like throw them the big fancy party. And like, because she has all the money and everything, who could better truly appreciate her for who she really is than somebody who is also filthy fucking rich? Like, match made in heaven. Oh my God. I can't believe I didn't see this before. My eyes have been opened.
And what a great segue to Bridesmaids too. Like that also yes. speaks to like an obvious sequel.
Yeah, and everyone's like,
yeah,
what happened?
Where's the sequel? I'm furious.
I was thinking that as I was watching it. It's been 10 years.
I'm pissed.
Right? We should get a Bridesmaids too.
I'm pissed.
Let's write that, ladies.
Their ship name though. What's the Helen and Megan ship name?
We run a tight shipwreck.
Incredible.
I don't know. That doesn't make any sense.
I've died.
We run a tight shipwreck. I cannot. Usually the ship names are both of the characters' names put together. But I like that so much better.
Can that be the log line underneath?
Yeah.
It may be the name of my next album. I don't know.
God, I'm like, I'm crying. I can't.
Oh my God. Like, Meg. Well, oh my God. Their ship name's just Megan.
Yeah.
Their
it really
ship name's
is.
Megan or Helen.
Or Hegan.
All right, Hegan.
Oh, God.
Or Melon. We run a tight shipwreck. What about Annie and Lillian? What's their ship name?
Lillany. I don't know. It's rough because no one has last names in this too.
That'll work. Jackie, what's another ship? I know we already talked about. Let's see, Helen and Megan, Annie and Lillian. Who else? Who are other?
I like the idea of the throuple of Lillian, Annie, and Megan. But the twist is Megan gets really femme. Because she's been needed to be taught this whole time.
Wow.
So it's a throuple, but Megan gets really soft and starts wearing heels and stuff. And the other two
I'm into it.
The other two get a little bit more butch. And then the ship is called Throuples Do It Better.
Yes. Amazing. These are the best ship names we've ever gotten. Ever. Lee, what about you?
Well, okay, listen. My top choice is my thruple. I don't know why. Maybe it's just the Gigi conversation we had that now I'm like, I'm in the mood for a thruple. Give it to me. But I feel like nobody has said Becca and Rita yet. So I got to put Becca and Rita up there because come on. They're clearly something's happening.
Oh, yeah. They're amazing. I like that they're
those two are taking another trip to Vegas by themselves at some
ooh.
Point.
They're going to elope.
Yep, yep, yep.
Oh, my God. I just realized Rita says before they go to Vegas, like, I need to have an experience that I can fantasize about to have sex with my husband.
Yes.
And then they never get to Vegas, but she does have an experience.
Yeah, that kiss is going to carry her through
a lot of she's going to be thinking about that makeout every time she has sex with her husband. Holy shit. Sorry, that just like was a big life.
And then instead of Rita and Becca, because she almost ruins it with her husband, the ship could be Wrecker. Get it? Rita, wow. Becca, Wrecker.
Whoa.
Wrecker.
Like Wrecker.
Marriage Wrecker. Yes.
Ellie, I feel like you need to play Bridesmaids and, you know, like Mystery Science Theater. But I feel like you need to film that, like your own commentary.
Yes.
Like, I think that would be, well, giantly received.
I'll do it.
Because you're so good. That's so good.
I just really, that blew my mind.
Yeah, that was remarkable.
Wild.
What about you, Ellie? Who's your top ship? Who would you do?
Oh my God. Well, all right. We threw like so many people already out there.
We haven't named the thruple yet, if you want to put them
out there. Oh, because Annie. It would be Annie, Helen, and Lillian, not Annie, Helen, and Megan, right? So we have another person in the thruple.
Well, we have two competing thruples.
Two competing thruples. Okay. So Annie, Helen, and Lillian would be, oh my God, Heleny. I don't know. That's all I got.
And Hellion.
Yeah. It doesn't work as well.
Do it.
Competing thruples.
I like it.
Yes.
Competing thruples is really funny.
Yes. We're here for it. We have so many ships in this film because it's so fucking gay. So I think we can all agree that Bridesmaids should have been gay.
Should have been gay.
Yeah.
Should have been gay.
And obviously it was originally. Yep.
Exactly.
Gay from casting to finish.
Yes.
Casting to credits. It was right there waiting for me, and I just, I blew it. It's fine.
It's okay. I'll
casting
it.
To credits. It's back.
Yeah.
All right. So it's time now for our Q and gay.
Q and gay.
All right. So question number one, I'll start with Jackie. Have you ever been a maid of honor? A, yes, or B, no?
Yes. Oh, A, yes, B, no, A.
What about you, Renee?
No, B.
Jackie, I have a follow-up. Did you have a maid of dishonor moment?
B, no.
You did a good job.
Yeah.
You didn't have a plane have to land in the middle of nowhere?
No, I did a good job. I did.
You survived. Very impressive.
A+.
Really, what happened was I did next to nothing and the mother had to do everything.
I had an inadvertent maid of honor moment because my niece, who was only 17, was the maid of honor in my sister Terry's wedding. So like it was like I was the VP maid of honor.
Yeah.
So I did all of the work, including creating a 180 person flash mob that we did at my sister's wedding that I coordinated with my niece Avery, but I got none of the credit. I'm the queen of second place, everybody.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just rude.
It's fine. I'm not bitter.
Yeah, we can tell. There's no lingering anger there. Okay, question two. You can each answer. Who is the gayest character in Bridesmaids out of A, Annie, B, Lillian, C, Helen, or D, Megan? Renee, we'll start with you.
Helen.
Good answer.
Is that just wishful thinking?
Yeah. 100%, and we're here for it. Jackie, what do you think? Who's the gayest?
Mine's not wishful thinking. Make it.
So gay.
There's no wrong answers in the Q and Gays, as we always say.
It's kind of wrong, my answer. There is some wrongness to it.
No. They're all gay, so it's
okay,
just...
Okay, thank you.
It's fine.
Mine's the John Hamm character.
Oh, yeah. We forgot about him. Also gay. All right, question number three. What's the ideal bachelorette party destination?
A, ooh. Vegas, B, Family Lake House, C, Beach House, or D, New Orleans? Or you can fill in the blank.
I'm going to say New Orleans.
I'm going to say Provincetown.
Ooh, I like it.
That's why I threw Beach Town in there.
I thought we had to pick from the list. Oh, Beach Town, that's good.
Yeah, I could just say Provincetown. I wasn't sure because I was like, I know there's a million bachelorette parties in Provincetown.
It's so quaint. I just can't. I want to inject the quaintness into my body.
I'm from Cape Cod. It's a beautiful place.
Yep.
So quaint.
Have you been to a bachelorette party in Provincetown?
I have not, but I've been to a gazillion prides in Provincetown where I think bachelorette parties were happening.
Yep.
That I was observing but not invited to.
When I first started performing there, I would dance at the tea dances by myself because I would be flying. And so I would go dance at the tea dances. And many people thought I had escaped a bachelorette party. They didn't, because I didn't fit in with everybody. They're like, who's that girl? Who's that girl? I think she escaped.
Oh, my God.
Everybody had all these different, like, ideas of who I was.
And then you were like, here's my face on this flyer. Here's who I
yeah.
am.
Yeah. And I'm like, come to my phone.
Yeah. So. And they're amazing. Like, oh, of course. Makes sense.
Okay. Question four. Who do you ship Lillian with out of A, Dougie, B, Annie, or C, Helen?
Annie. Hands down.
C.
Lillian? Yeah.
Okay. So Renee, C. Your answer is Helen.
No, Annie. Right, because we're talking about who Lillian is.
Who should Lillian
with.
Be
who
we with?
Yeah, who do you ship Lillian with?
Can, I guess what I should put in self-partnered. Wait, can I'm she gonna... self-partner?
Oh yeah, self-partner is D.
Wait, I'm gonna put in option D as Annie and Helen for myself. Just,
okay,
just
D
for me.
Then,
don't
for
mind me.
D. I'm down. Okay. Can I steal your D?
All I say she self-partners and she has a lady on every port. Like she goes all over the place and there's a new lady everywhere she goes.
Yes.
Amazing.
Jackie, are these answers projections?
Yeah, I know.
Life?
I'm like, that sounded
sure.
like you're talking about someone.
For sure.
Specific. All right, question number five. What is the most repressed lesbian move? A, staring at childhood photos. B, Georgia O'Keeffe cupcake. C, trip to Paris. Or D, topless driving. Let's start with Renee.
B, Georgia O'Keeffe cupcake, hands down.
Amazing. How about you, Jackie?
I have to agree.
Listen, that cupcake scene, like, took me out on this rewatch. Because, like, when you watch it, somebody please tell me what is supposed to be happening in that scene. Like, when straight people watch that scene, what do they think is happening? Right? Because this is well before she gets back into baking after the cop, like, tries to get her to bake. She is still very, like... anti-baking. I do not want to bake anything. Baking is a bad place for me. But the second her friend gets engaged, she's like, I need to bake a giant vagina cupcake and like eat it. So I just want to know what straight people think that scene was about, because I do not understand. I understand it from a gay perspective, but like otherwise I got nothing.
You got nothing.
I have nothing.
I think naturally we're more layered and dimensional as gay people. So straight people just probably saw it as emotionally eating. And like,
they're just like,
oh, she's just emotionally eating. Like, make no connection.
I like that straight people are like zombies in this scenario. Like, I don't know. Like, they're like brains. Like, I don't know what's happening with them.
They're just a bunch of Homer Simpsons. I think they're Homer Simpson. Zombie Homer Simpson. I don't know.
Yeah. It makes sense. Yeah. They're just like drinking beer, sitting on the couch. Like, I don't know why she had that cupcake. Yeah.
Incredible.
No one thought about the cupcake except for lesbians. They were like, I forgot that scene even happened in the film. That's what's really
like. But someone wrote that scene, right? Like, that scene was directed and filmed. I have questions. That's all. I have some questions.
We all have vagina cupcake questions, but we'll have to tackle those another day. Thank you, Jackie and Renee, so much for hanging out with us. It's so good to see both of you again. I had such a blast. Where can people find you, either individually on social media, and also where can they find your podcast? So I guess let's start with Renee. You can say where people can find you online.
You can find me online. My Instagram is at Renee Santos Comedy. Same with my Facebook. But if you want to know any of my upcoming dates, my website has all of that. And that's just my name.com. So reneesantos.com is a one-stop shop that'll filter you to all that other stuff if you can't remember it. Our podcast will be out very shortly on iTunes. We are uploading our first two seasons to Buzzsprout. We have a lot of stuff going on. We have an investor helping us with our content and our merch. And so 2022 is going to be amazing for Never Normal.
Amazing. That's Jackie, so exciting. Where can people find you?
I wanted to add for Never Normal, you can also watch the episodes right now on Renee's YouTube.
Yes, which is Renee Santos Comedy. Also Renee Santos. And again, you could go to my website and it links us. But right now it lives live on my website, but it is going to have its own birthplace very shortly.
Amazing.
We're very excited. You can I'm Jackie Monahan on everything, or Jackie Primrose Monahan, but I think you can get everywhere by putting Jackie Monahan and JackieMonahan.com. And I'm on Twitch. Very cool. I'm on Twitch a lot every other Saturday for the Jackie Mo Show at 5:30.
Amazing. Thank you so much. This has been incredible. And so, so good.
Thank you. This is so much fun.
The gayest.
The best.
Oh, my God.
Let me hear you say, hip, 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 we're gay.
We love hearing from all of you. We love continuing to build this community. And we just like to shout out some of our favorite things every episode. And this week, we want to shout out one of our listeners, Aiden, who sent us a message suggesting another Les Essentials on Princess Bubblegum and Marceline from Adventure Time. So listen, Aiden, we just want to say we have added it to our list. As any of you who listened to our AMA recently when we did it on Wisdom, we are always struggling with how to include as many Les Essentials because they do take us a long time. But we just want to remind you, if we hit enough patrons, we will also start trying to cover some extra bonus episodes that could be Les Essentials, but maybe we don't have time to do as many Les Essentials every season. So, you know, listen, if you want to make sure that your faves get covered, just another thing to keep in mind, but they are on our Les Essentials list for sure. So thank you so much for writing us in that lovely message. And we're so glad you enjoyed the Willow and Tara episode as well. Because,
yes,
you know,
it's also
just a fave.
Great suggestion. We haven't done any Les cartoons yet. So
no, we haven't.
It's actually not a bad idea. I haven't seen Adventure Time, but I have seen some cute little scenes between the two of them. So I'm here for it. As always, we want to thank our Lesbian Jesus patrons, Mark Foster,
Jess Klaus,
Tanya Ferguson,
Jacqueline Rose Nishino,
Sarah and Julia,
Danny Gunlock Tamora,
Brittany Ray,
Alana Rosen,
Lizette Stye,
Stacy,
A.D. Benitez,
Fiona W.,
Whitney Lennon,
and Jennifer Trujillo.
And our King Princess patrons, Amy and Ellen,
Leah Henley,
Liz Chen,
Julia Gonzalez,
and Ashley White. Thank you all so much. We could not do this show without you all, especially our Lesbian Jesus and King Princess patrons, but all of our patrons, we love you all so much. Thank you.
Remember, you can also find us on all the social medias, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok at Les Hangout Pod.
You can email us at leshangoutpod@gmail.com.
You can check out our website at leshangoutpod.com.
Whatever app you use for podcasts, make sure you subscribe so you'll be the first to know when new episodes drop.
And remember, you can also find all the episodes of The Flame up on any podcasting app.
We're also posting some videos of our episodes up on our YouTube channel, so make sure you subscribe at youtube.com/leshangoutpod to catch them.
If you want to help support the podcast, there are so many ways that you can do that. The first, that is free and easy, is to leave us a rating and a review on the Apple Podcasts app. It, A, helps new people find the podcast, and B, we just like reading the reviews.
If you want to support us financially and join our Patreon family, you can do that at bit.ly/lespatreon. We have a lot of really cool perks at each level, including a bonus Q&A episode once we hit 125 and some bonus Les Essentials, like Lee said, when we hit 150. So you can join at bit.ly/lespatreon.
And I think you all know that we are actively working on our next musical. So if you want to help support The Flame, which includes getting The Flame up on stage this summer in New York and also making the next musical podcast that we're working on, you can support us specifically to those efforts at bit.ly/TheFlamePatreon.
If you want to get some Les Hangout merch, you can do that at bit.ly/LesShop. We have mugs, we have shirts, we have tote bags. We got everything your little gay heart could desire at bit.ly/LesShop.
If you want to follow us individually, you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at LSH Foster.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Ellie Brigida. With that, I'm Ellie.
And I'm Lee.
And let's hang out again soon.
Let's hang out.